Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Is there a better combination than Sunday afternoon and the North Queensland Cowboys? How about it? Two in a row. Up and getting up about. We're yee-haring all up in the North here. JT for the Sunday Wrap. And I've got a very special guest here. We're doing another, we're getting the real cream of the Supercoach crop on board. Lakey, Wennon and I, we're obviously hopeless, so we're starting to bring in the cavalry. Luke Gold from Sporting Woods. How are you, mate?
Yeah, well, mate. I like that you've brought me on this week after, you know, we got the challenge, threw down the gauntlet as if I got under 1,000 points, into the thousands, that I would join you on the Sunday night. And then I have a terrible week this week. But so super stoked with my rep there. Yeah.
It can be a little bit of a podcast curse, this. I know when I first started, I was 30th, I think, late in the year in 2018, and then Wennon brought me on for the very first time. And then I fell away to like 500th. So, yeah, things don't always tend to go up from this direction. But for you, mate, I reckon, what did you get?
11.30 this week, which, yeah, by the looks of it, seems like it's a pretty average, respectably average score.
Mate, I reckon it's a little more, you're underselling yourself there because it was a tough round, I thought. Mm-hmm. There was plenty of drama in a couple of the Friday night games, and then obviously Saturday was a bit of a stinker, particularly if you've got a lot of Titans in your side as I do. So I struggled to a 10.63. It's actually beating 5 out of 10 leagues that I'm in head-to-heads, including Benny G. How good, mate, Benny G. So
get that one up here. Yeah, if you can get over the Benny G line, it's a bit like the Mendoza line, we like to say. So I've managed to top him in the Sporting Woods Supercoach League this week. So came up against the great man, and I got the chocolates, which was good.
Beautiful, mate. So a bit about you. Where are you currently sitting in the Supercoach rankings land, and like, who's your team? How long have you been playing the game? All that sort of stuff.
Look, I mean, I've been playing for the last few years. I came over from fantasy, actually. We used to do that a little while ago. And obviously, I know, right? And then going into taking Tim on board in Sporting Woods, and obviously he was more of a Supercoach guy, and we've kind of filtered over in the last few years. And probably playing it properly the last probably 3 years. And this one, I honestly thought this year I was just like, oh God, this is going to be a terrible one. And this is easily my best year. So yeah, pretty happy so far.
How good. And you're a Roosters man, I hear.
Yes. Yeah. So don't try not to hold that against me, listeners. I've been a Roosters fan since 03, I think, or 02. I think we won the grand final 02.
That's convenient.
Yeah, no way. Well, I was 12, you know, like just when you first start to learn about football. And my mum always said, you know, I was born in Sydney. So, you just go for Sydney. So I would go for the Sydney Roosters. And then years later, I found out I was born in Baulkham Hills. So technically, I'm a Parramatta boy. It's too late. It's way too late. Definitely a Roosters boy. So, I'm just lamenting another week where we've dropped the ball. So,
yeah, good. Well, I mean, Parramatta, if you've landed on Sydney over Parramatta, I think that was a pretty decent call in the end. Yeah, the last sort of 20 years of results would suggest.
That's right. A lot less heartache, I think, at the end of the day. But yes.
How good. We're on the, well, it's a Sunday wrap here. You're a regular listener to the pod. I don't know how you're doing so well, if that's the case, but you'll know the drill. So it's Rocker of the Week, Flopper of the Week, Shockers, Trade Fails, and then we do the game by games and also the injury and suspension. So a fair bit to cover in round six. It's good to have some talent on board, mate. And just a bit before we get into it, Sporting Woods. So we've had your mate Timmy on board a couple of times, and this is your debut on the SC Talk pod. So what a little bit about you guys.
Yeah, look, we are Sporting Woods. Yes, it is a phallic joke. Just getting that right out of the way nice and early. If you enjoy sports and that level of humor, you know, we're your boys. We've been going now for like, I think we're up to our sixth year, something like
incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy. It all started with our producer, Michael, who's not a sports fan whatsoever, but we used to just talk about sports a lot, and he thought, you know what, bugger it, I'll just throw a microphone in front of you guys and then you don't have to talk to me about it. And now we make him listen to the episode when he edits it. So he's stuck either way. Too bad, Michael. So we just do the sort of we do a wrap up in sport, but mostly about the cricket or the rugby, and if not that, you know, a little bit of American sports because you can't stop Tim, and I'm a big addict for the Formula One. So those are the two, the other ones outside of rugby league that we cover.
Covering all bases, but I think listening to you guys this year, rugby league is definitely the first love absolutely. Of the Sporting Woods universe.
Yeah,
love
it. 100%.
Well, good. All right, let's get into some round six action, Luke, and Rocker of the Week.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's hard to go past anyone else, but Kalyn Ponga. Big 161, at this stage anyway, had a ripper of a game. Coming back, you know, back into that team and a couple of bits and pieces of it.
Unreal.
Back into that Newcastle team and, slotted in like he's never left.
And he battled a virus. Did you see him in the game? Yeah, he was hunched over.
He was dying. It was Lazarus. It was Billy Kicks again, coming back from the dead. He was, and then running and, doing everything. It was amazing.
It was a pretty incredible performance. So we saw him coming out for the second half, and he had to double back in and use the facilities. So I had no idea how he was making it through the game. He copped a lot of rough shots as well, fielding some bombs, and just the way that he delivered in the back end there. I was sort of feeding it to Lakey, my mate, on the Tuesday, Wednesday pods, and obviously he's a big Ponga fanboy. But it's a massive headache now because we'll get into a couple of other dud fullbacks for this week. But really, Ponga is sort of a headache that we didn't need in the Supercoach world because now we've got to really toss him up and, serious option.
It's a good headache, but also like a proper headache, you know, because like, are you going to be the guy that trades out Tedesco after he's dropped a bit in price? Like, you know, I don't know. But, you take the punt. I guess that's all this really is at the end of the day on a guy like Ponga. And then you'd have to think he plays Origin if he keeps this up. So you've got to keep that in mind as well. And yeah, you're right. So I've already got a headache thinking about it. Can't wait.
I mean, he's going to play Origin as well this year. So you'd imagine. So he will miss some games through that bye period. But geez, there'll be a lot of points chases, I reckon, this week. Someone who may be in the firing line for Ponga is our trade fail of the week, as I'll just get my little sound clip up.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, wah, wah.
Didn't think I'd be hearing that one, and James Tedesco following it. But Teddy, your boy, 40 points and saved by a late try assist, kicked over for Matt Ikuvalu to score in basically the dying seconds of the game. But before that, very quiet. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like this has been, he's been very quiet the last couple of weeks and without really, I guess, is it more that we're just so used to him playing so well that like-
Very high standard.
Yeah, incredibly high standard. So when he does have a quiet game, it's kind of like, where's Teddy? But that said, he was very quiet against the Melbourne and it's just, what do you do? I mean, from a Supercoach perspective, it's I think it's too late. I think keep him and cop it, I think, at this stage.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks ago was, I guess, the time to trade him out. He got a 50 last week, and this 40 he got here was his lowest score since round one last year. So he's shedding cash, and I think a few people did jump on. And I know I sat back and said, oh, it's too risky, and we've seen this all before. You trade a player out, and then it's Teddy. He'll go gangbusters, and then it's almost impossible to bring him back in. But that whole Moneyball sort of stuff has worked in anyone's favor who's gone off him. But I don't know whether it's the halves combination. They're obviously quite new. Even the hooker there as well. You got Ben Marschke, I think, fifth string. So
yeah,
not a lot of quality ball coming Teddy's way. So he's going to have to search for it. So anyway, I think it is Teddy, and we know he doesn't go badly for too long. So I think he'll be up and firing hopefully sooner rather than later. And finally, our shocker of the week.
Connor Tracy. That? My boy. I've stuck with him throughout all of this, and he continues to make me look good, which I'm more than happy to take. But yeah, 1-1-4, four line breaks and a try. He just, I think because he is the ability to just be put in a spot and go, and you know, being able to do that is obviously great from a Supercoach perspective. You know, he can really find points wherever they put him, obviously. But then on top of that, you put him in a team that's performing well, you know, behind on the back of a Kalen Ponga. You just, yeah, you are going to see that points generation. So, yeah, stoked. Go Connor. Keep it up, buddy.
Connor Tracy.
I showed you the love. I nearly went Brayley. I was so close. And then last minute, I changed my mind last week. And wow. I'm so stoked I did.
I think you might have talked over my little soundbite there, Lou, but Connor Tracy was the guy. That's the issue. We're not a professional podcast like you guys here. We just, I don't know, we run off the seat of our pants. But yeah, Connor Tracy.
There is nothing professional about the way that we do anything at Sporting Woods. Let me tell you that for free.
Oh, dear. Love it. Connor Tracy, how good. And the trade fail of the week, someone traded out Isaiah Papali'i on the bubble, break even of negative 30 odd for Terrell Fuimaono. So I don't know what's going on there, but Isaiah Papali'i banged out 120 points this week and Fui banged out 30. So I don't know, must have thought back to the bench and Matto will be there, but just goes to show you got to hold fire. But don't think that one really worked out, almost 100-point turnaround. So unlucky champ, but you'll bounce back. Let's get into the news for this week, Luki. Injuries and suspensions.
Yeah, look, a couple of... Sorry, am I talking over stuff still?
Yes.
You got to give me like a sign or something, mate.
Oh, yeah, you can see me. I can't see you.
Yeah.
That'll be a point to the ear. Yeah, how good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Go. Fair few injuries, mate. Let's go through them pretty quickly. Asu Kapoa, ACL, done for the season. Horrible news for the Tigers. Just when you thought their young guns were getting back on board, they're just, yeah, another injury crisis looming for them. Taumalolo, he's broken his other hand. Bizarre. 1 to 3 weeks. It wasn't the original fractured hand. Even read some stuff online, like in high school, he used to purposely injure himself to avoid having to play games if he didn't like the coach or something, and that might be what the go is here, but...
Are you kidding me? On a $10 million contract?
Yep.
Pulling that?
Whoa. Yeah, all allegations, mate, as you guys have to say.
I mean, everything we say is an allegation. There's no doubt there. Don't you worry.
Couple out of today's game, Peter Hiku and Pompey for the Warriors. Peter Hiku dislocated his shoulder. Horrible, nasty injury, that one. He's gone for a month. He was something in the arm. I was listening to it on the radio, and they said initially thought it was fractured finger or something like that, and then it was his arm, and then now
his hand was limp. Like it was like it was like, oh no, that is awful. And then now it was just a dislocation, and it went back in. So just a dislocation. It was only the bone, you know, leaving the socket. Yeah.
Who else we got? Josh Mansour did his hamstring, didn't play out the game for the Bunnies in their win. Matto, he was another late scratching, just I think 4 weeks in a row now. So as we said, Isaiah Papali'i just keeps on keeping on, and Ryan Madison just keeps staying out of the side. So we've seen it before. JWH, another of your boys, he's done his shoulder, TBA for him. Mm-hmm. Tokoyaho, probably the more Supercoach relevant one there. He had a rib complaint, didn't play out any time in that second half. Still got him down as TBA, but have you... know anything inside Roosters mail? Will he be back?
Can't say I do. Haven't got my line with Dobbo on that one, but of which I do a lot. But now, Tooks, that was a bit rough because, obviously he's in my team and
teams, yeah.
Eager to see what happens on the end of that one because, yeah, that was one of many shocks as far as points were this week.
BMOZ age is definitely catching up to him here. Calf tightness, so possibly just the 1 week or this round anyway on the sidelines, and he'll be back from for round seven. They definitely need him out there. Hymel Hunt did his hamstring for the Knights. He's a TBA as well. And Bailey Simonson failed an HIA. So hopefully he didn't play him in his matchup against the Eels, but yet another flop for one of our centre wing specialists. Suspension news and a fair bit of Supercoach relevance here. Latrell originally had him down as flopper of the week, but he did get a recent upgrade to the 60s. But for any owners out there, he's going to be sitting on the sidelines for possibly 4 weeks, going to cop a dangerous contact charge. And lucky he didn't get more. He was lashing out with kicks. He was wild.
Yeah, it was all going on. I thought if Timmy in our podcast had any hair, it would be gone by now. There's no way he has any hair. I'm sure he was like picking hair off his legs by the end of it. It looked like a speed skater, because holy doolies, what a game of footy. But second of all, Latrell, I mean, I read something today about how like he's not just a good player, he's a great player. Like, he's such an exceptional talent. There's no need for any of this rubbish that he has in his game. So why does he do it?
I don't know.
It's left us all scratching our heads, I think. And it means it was, you know, he could have been someone that potentially you'd be thinking about for, you know, in for a Tedesco, but 3 to 4 weeks on the sideline, and who knows, you know, what else. I mean, yeah, it obviously scratches him.
Supercoach Talk banner strikes again, the banner for the trade or the scores post that we put up every week there. So Latrell was the banner this week. It's gotten to him. The banner's back. Tino Fasua Malawi, he's possibly looking at 2 weeks with a shoulder charge, whether or not he lodges an early guilty plea or goes to the judiciary. And with Tokiaho going down, that could put a bit of a big hole in some front row forward combinations for Supercoach. So hopefully, with a bit of luck, he gets off at the judiciary, but not looking good for any Tino owners. And I mean, if he's out a couple of weeks, I don't know if you're an owner, but I've got to look at flicking him on.
Mate, I'm looking at this list. I mean, I've got 3 out of the 5. I'm just like, oh, no. Like, oh, no. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to make some serious changes. Oh, sorry, 2 out of the 3. My mistake. I've got Tino and Momorowski with the 2 weeks for the dangerous contact. So, yeah, no, this is something. Maybe I can make the move to Toto perhaps, which was the plan, but it didn't come out because I'm an idiot. But maybe this is the week.
Momorowski, not a bad pot. I like that. Victor Radley, another of your boys, 2 to 3 weeks careless side tackle. They're going to be scrambling for some replacements in Bondi. And Aiden Tolman, I think this is the first time he's ever been cited, 1 to 2 weeks with the crusher tackle. So that is all the suspension news. Take a quick break, Lukey, and then we'll come back and do the game by games.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All right, Luke, we're back. Broncos 12 getting done by the Panthers 20. Was actually at this game. First game for the year. I was pretty excited. So a lot closer than a lot of people imagined. So I think anyone that had a few Panthers in their side was either VCing or captaining them without question. So let's run through them. Cleary saved by a late try here, 125. He also got a one of those two-point field goals that are worth 10. So good effort by him. He finally is sort of kicking on and outpointing Luai. He got 80-odd, but actually took the bold move of captaining Cleary. Did you throw the VC on him at all?
I threw the VC on him and went big David Fifita, thinking he was going to bulldozer over the top of Manly, and obviously that didn't happen. So, yeah, look, Cleary 125. It was, yeah. I didn't realize that the two-point field goal was worth 10. That's crazy. Mm. How much does a normal one cost?
Six, seriously. Eight, something like that. Or maybe five. But I think it is five, so double pointed it. But they actually gave him 15 in the live score, and so people were blowing up. I think he's also got a 40-20 that was technically touched.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why I said in the chat, was saying that this is that what we've been robbed of a 40-20 here, because yeah, it wasn't. He got taken over by the winger. So yeah, I was happy with that decision as well. If it was taken off him, it should have been, because it wasn't a 40-20.
I think Wilfred Z, former winner in one of our chats with some of the Daily Telly guys, has already bringing that to their attention. So Wilfred's on it. So anyone that didn't captain Cleary will be hoping that that might get scratched from his record on Monday. But as a Cleary captain, I just keep the effing thing. Capewell, he had an early try, 82 points. So I don't own him. It's a bit of a wild ride, because some weeks he goes 40s and I think how good. And then other times he scores the first try directly in front of me. But Kurt Capewell, 82 with a try, not huge, but he's base could do some work, but for now, anyway, you're taking those attacking points, right?
Yeah, look, it was someone I was definitely looking at getting into the team, and I just couldn't fit him in. And then last week, yeah, it was a bit of a bust, so I was like, oh, you beauty. And then this week, obviously, these are the ones that sting. But 82, yeah, I mean, over the top, I've got Movarovsky was my sort of choice between the two, and he's been pretty consistent, so I've been happy with my choice up until this point. But yeah, I don't know. It's someone that might look to put into the team, but then he probably might play Origin again. So
yeah, he should do. Queensland's fine.
You'd have to think. So it's just something to consider, I guess.
No one really else of note in this game here, scoring pretty big. So Payne Haas, he's been looming. He's definitely going to lose some cash over the coming weeks. He hit a 64. He was okay. He's still not quite the busting or offloading character that we know from previous seasons. Might just be taking a bit of time to warm into it. So I'll be keeping my eye on him, particularly if Tino and Takayaho are out this week. Definitely need some firepower up front. And my boy, James Fisher-Harris, I've got him at second row at the moment, but he hit a 55, so very low score from him. A couple of offloads were fortunate enough, but again, he's just not kicking on as I'd hoped. And Brian To'o, the guy you mentioned, 20 points in tackle bust. I mean, that's 10 in Supercoach world, but I think NRL.com gave him 15. Like, it was just every time he touched the ball, he was doing something. How he didn't score a try... And he probably ruined so many multis. I think Benny G, it cost him 500, classic.
That sounds like a Benny G bet. Yeah, look, I mean, obviously it was a decision by the Broncos to kick to his corner, which, yeah, killed me, because obviously Momorowski's on the other side. So and Charlie Staines, for that matter. So, yeah, was missing out on those points. But, yeah, and Toto just, yeah, that seemed to be, I don't know, it must have just thought that they could pin him in a corner, which, you'd have to say they kind of did. So, yeah, unfortunate not to score. I mean, he had his hand on literally everything before that. So, yeah.
Yep. Just a couple of errors, too. A guy you mentioned, Charlie Staines, getting no love at all from Mommy.
No. Well, that was my thought, you know, because I had Staines. Everyone had Staines. And I thought, well, if he's not getting any points, I'll buy the bloke that's stealing all the points, which was Momorowski. So, that was the thought process. And it paid off to an extent. But, yeah, just haven't had the heart to get rid of Staines. And last week, obviously, he went big. So, thought, you know what? He's earned another go in the first team. And, yeah, no, he dogged me. So,
Kettle get him right this year. I didn't play him for his 80-odd against the Raiders. And didn't play him. I did play him for this one. Thinking he'd go okay. So, I just can't get a read on him. It's classic shitness at center wing. And finally, Jordan Rickey, he was off the bench. He was a big trade-out target last week. So if you've still got him around, it might hurt a little bit. He got 20, so 19, I think, downgraded. So could be dropping some cash in the coming weeks. Knights getting the job done over the Sharks, 26-22. Bit of a heartbreaker for the Cronulla boys. Pongo, as we said, Rocker of the Week, 161. I think just about every stat in the book, he was back in try-score and try-setting up form. So I think he's definitely looming as a pretty handy candidate. A guy who did okay as well, Tyson Frizzell. He's found a new home up there in Newcastle, scored 112. Had a couple of good early weeks, but fell away a little bit. So good for anyone that might have gone the pod route with him. And the Barnacle, Mitch Barnett, early try assist, end a try, got 107 points. Does miss a few tackles out there. Push through 80 again this game. So doing a lot of work out there. But, yeah, just needs those sort of one or two tries every now and again, and he'll definitely keep his value. for anyone that was looking to pass him on. Connor Watson, 62, finally named at lock and actually playing there. That was pretty handy. But he was also, he's a roommate of Kalen Ponga's, is that right? And he copped the same virus.
Is that right? Wow.
Something like that. Because they were saying in the game as well, like Connor Watson was visibly distressed as well. So the fact that both of them pushed through, Watson with a 62 and basically being physically ill, I mean, that's pretty handy.
Yeah, hectic. I mean, I've definitely woken up in the middle of the night with sick guts, and I mean, it's the worst. And imagine doing that on national television. I mean, it's playing a game of Rumble League. Yeah, it's
100 kilo forwards just running straight at you while you're trying to take a bomb. Yeah, well, Toby Rudolph lined Ponga up in that game. That was brutal.
Oh, didn't he just, yeah.
Couple other Knights guys. Well, Jaden Brayley, he's in basically everyone's side, but with Simpkin looming, people could be looking at moving either him or Watson on if they've got them up at hooker there. Brayley got a lot of work done in tackles, not much else. Needs to run a bit more, 57 points for him. And finally, Matty Moylan. Benny G played him in one of my matchups against him this week, 25. He was on the bubble. He looked close, like he looked like something would spark through his hands, but the Sharkies just fell short time and time again to let the Knights steal that one. But anything else in this game for you, mate?
Other than the fact that I lost my tip on that one, I had an absolute shocker with tips this week, to be honest. But yeah, that one was one of many pods that did not work out from that side of things for me.
Storm 20 over your boys, the Roosters 4. Didn't quite reach the climax of some of the games we've seen from these two teams in the past few years, but Roosters definitely not helped with a sin binning and obviously running a pretty brand new spine. So the Storm were far too clinical in this one. But what it was carnage, like Pappenhausen going down inside the first, I think, 5 minutes. Mm. You guys almost scored. And then... yeah, he was off the field for, I'd say, 15 minutes or so, on sitting on 0 points.
Yeah, a lot of heartbreak out there for owners, let me tell you. But, yeah, look, I think you made the point being that obviously it was a really fresh spine, you know, the new halves and a new hooker, I mean, against the best team in the competition for the last 15 years. So what are you going to do? Like, you're never going to have the best game. And I think you made the point with Teddy, you know, he really needs that go forward and to drop off the back of those types of players. And just not having that is what really hamstrung us there. And seems like in the last couple of weeks as well, obviously against the Bunnies, we kind of did the same thing, like get spooked in those big games. Seems to be, I don't know. And then, you know, almost did it against the Sharks and managed to pull it out of the fire. So yeah, look, disappointing, but I did tip Storm. It's the first time this year that I've gone against my boys. But
oof, hate doing that.
Yeah, I know, but it's always a bit nice when it works. So yeah, I was a bit stoked in the end, but yeah, I don't know. I just, Sam Walker's a talent, and yeah, Sam Verrills can't come back any quicker.
Well, you said Sam Walker, so he actually almost set two tries up. So the first one was that kick through, was it Josh Morris that then collided with Pappenhausen? That was almost a try. And then I think in the second half, similar story, knock on over the line. Like, he was close. And I don't think many people would have played him in this matchup given the sort of gap in class and how tough a showing it would be. But yeah, Sam Walker, he's still going to make a stack of cash and he's very young. You can just see he's an absolute talent and he's going to get assists basically every week if he keeps up that sort of effort. So look past the 21 and keep him in mind for an easier matchup, of which I think you guys have a few over the next month.
Yeah, he's not leaving my team anytime soon.
Harry Grant, a guy that could be coming into some sides this week or next, 98, and all this is coming off the bench. It's so frustrating because we just thought, okay, he's been going to get eased back into the side here. He'll shed some cash and we'll jump on him around that sort of origin time. But no, the guy's just going out and banging out try assists and I think even scoring them. Like, he's incredible. 48 minutes off the bench for 98 points. And
he's the worst.
Basically won them the game. The worst.
He is the worst, yeah.
633K, so pretty pricey. Had a break even of 95 this week as well. So he's going to hold value, which is pretty incredible for a guy that price coming off the bench. Like, he's just ticking a lot of boxes. I think looking at his game, you'd have to suggest he's going to be in everyone's side at some point this year.
Yeah, I think our post-origin might seem bring into the game. What I want to know about Harry Grant is how he was able to stay on the field after getting knocked out and going on to then score. I mean, I'm not bitter at all. Surely, but
that's right.
I mean, literally.
He was brought off 15 minutes or something after the event, which, in that time, he basically won them the game. So a bit of controversy.
I mean, that's footy, but just saying, what's the story?
A couple other guys here for Melbourne. Christian Welsh, he's been doing pretty well so far to start this season. Had a few people jumping ship over the last couple of weeks, but if you just look at his game, I think he's the number one offloader in the comp. So he just finds a way. He found five of them here. Every time he goes to the line, he's just throwing.
Yeah, I mean, they said it at the start of the game about, you know, like, oh, talking up that stat, and then off he goes and just, you know, so many offloads. It was ridiculous. Yep. So, yeah, as an owner, I was super stoked to see that go down. You know, more than happy for him to stay on the team. And, again, Origin looms. So, yeah, something else to consider going forward. I'll tell you what, there was one thing in this game, though, that I noticed a lot was just the sheer amount of bums. Lots of bums, there was more butts than a cigarette factory. I swear to God, there was more moon than Buzz Aldrin's resume. I mean, I haven't seen rosier cheeks since Annie. Like I, that's probably all the jokes I've got, but, yeah, lots of mooning, occurring in that football game. So love a good bum on national television.
Oh, by the time Channel 9 starts the games, mate, they're like 9 o'clock. So I think they can have all the liberties in the world to show that sort of gear. So, no, well spotted. No super match points for butts, but maybe there should be. I don't know, 5 points for a successful dacking.
Now I love that. That's great.
Yeah, we're all talking about bringing in points for strips and that kind of thing, but how about another kind of strip?
Yeah. 10 points for stripping.
Speaking of the master stripper, Cam Munster, no try assist, but did get 67. So a huge game from him in base, 14 runs. So he had the ball in his hands basically every single set the Storm had multiple times. So he was always going to rack up a decent score. So if he had have got some attacking stats, it would have been pretty big, but that's classic money sort of game. And then all your guys, I've got popular Roosters left, right, and center. Sam Walker, as we said, 21. Takiaho, 23 with that rib issue, so that didn't help him. And then obviously the flopper of the week in Teddy did not go as owners would have planned. But nonetheless, hopefully they still look like a side that will towel up some bottom teams, of which we saw a couple in the final game of the round this week that we'll get into. But I think the Roosters, they're definitely not out of it by any means, but might just take some time to click into gear. Anything else?
Yeah, just a bit of a regroup, I think, and yeah, over with the players that we've got, you know, that Origin period, there will be a few that obviously leave, but there's also so many young players that they might get that chance in through that time. So, on to better and bigger things. I think we'll be better towards the back end of the competition once we've had a few more games under the belt.
Real big shock, this one. 36 to Manly over the Titans, nil. Before this game, I was on the golf course with Timmy. We were playing 36 holes, got the betting account up nice and early into this day and looked at the line and it was like -6.5 for the Titans. And I thought, geez, they're joking, right? That's printing money. So slapped some dollars down and then look what happened. So, yep, shout out my tipping career. Obviously, the big in was Tommy Turbo. So wasting no time at all and just another fullback now that we've got to consider. And a lot of people had him in their side before round one, before he did the hammy running up the course or whatever it was. But he's, 580-odd K? I'm just going to bring him up. But serious option, but I think the big thing is just how long he stays on the park for. But he just looks so good.
Yeah, when he's on there, obviously, I mean, talk about a comeback. But I'm pretty sure he does this every time he comes back from injury. He absolutely mops it, and then the next week he's out for another month and a half. I mean, there was talk, that Jason Saab was going to benefit from his game, because he breaks the line, that guy it doesn't even look like he's in fourth gear when he runs. He's all legs. It's amazing watching that kid run. And I mean, two tries and he got 44 points. It was like, where's the rest of the points? So what else did you do, Jason? But, he picked them up off the back of just terrific Tommy Turbo. He was, something special to watch that kid.
Fair call, though. I mean, a few people were saying Saab would need some sort of quality ball and that, and I think we saw one breakaway try that Turbo set up to him. So I think he's definitely going to help in that regard. But Saab 44, mate, I'll absolutely take that after some of the shit he's dished up so far this year. But as you said, two tries and only a 44 just goes to show how not so quality his base work is, tackles and runs and all that. But yeah, another guy that will benefit from Turbo being back by the looks is Schuster. So 93 points for him, try assist. Linked up very well with Turbo on the edge there. So I think he's 353K. He's made 150. He's just going to keep climbing. And you played him this week. I didn't. But I think looking forward, he might be a genuine week-to-week play.
Yeah, I mean, he was the one that I made the choice between Cam Munster and Cody Walker, and went with Cam Munster out for Schuster. And I mean, looking back, I mean, it was the wrong call. You could argue, but either way, you have to bring this guy in, and it was just out of just sheer money production. Mm. And then on top of that, he just keeps on producing. So this week he got the run, that was just out of I thought he might have a good game. Lo and behold, it happened. So, got lucky there, but 93. Stoked, yeah.
Couple of not-so-goods. Tino F, 41 from 57 minutes and now possibly out for a couple of weeks. As we said at the top, it's definitely looming a trade-out target this week or next. Tyron Peachy, my boy from a couple of weeks ago, very rocks and diamonds so far. I think he hit a 39 in this game. He hit 100 last week and then a 39 before that or something. So, yeah, classic Peachy roller coaster here. Should have had a try assist. I don't know if you saw late in the game, passed to Proctor who just spilled the lollies over the line, but that's just Supercoach killer stuff there.
Yeah, you got to love that. Yeah, I love it. Kelly seems to be someone that... they had a fair bit of talk up on him as well, and it just doesn't seem to have come to fruition for Kelly as someone. So that's I'm lucky I didn't get on him because I thought about it. It was a definite consideration, but just stoked I didn't. And Peachy was another one to considered, but yeah, because he has that ability to go big, but just didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean I like the role he plays now. He's a sort of roving lock in that side, getting about an hour. Wants an hour of game time. Keep talking over you now.
Oh, that's on me. Sorry.
Seamless. But yeah, Peachy, another one, another guy that went down. Kelly, as you said, 32 points. I traded him in this week, so I broke him. Apologies to any previous Kelly owners there, but that's what I do. And then finally, your boy, Dave Fifita, your captain this week. So in a game they lost by 36-0, he's still got nearly 80. So pretty incredible stuff from him.
Yeah, obviously he's a massive talent and on the back of tries where he went ballistic the other week. But just a bit disappointing overall the whole game. It was the Titans of old, but he's still obviously rocking it to an extent. This is the first week that I got on the Pappenhausen bandwagon when he double tunned up or whatever it was, or close to. So this is the first week that my captaincy hasn't worked. So I'm a little hurt, but I'll survive.
It's fair play because we had Alex, the number two ranked guy on during the week, and he mentioned that he's been sort of nailing his captaincy picks every week. So that's probably why you guys are so high up. I've had a few dud captains over the last month or so. So just goes to show how important getting those sort of calls right are. Oh, this was a heartbreaker for Timmy here. 36 holes during the day, walking at golf, a few beers, and then the Tigers going down Golden Point. Controversially, must be said. Did you reckon it was a try?
Mate, I've never seen a game of footy end like that. I don't think you will see. It'll be ages before you see a game of football. And, of course, it's the Tigers. Course it is the Tigers. I don't know how he does it. It's just being a Tiger supporter. It just must... lose years off the end of your life. For mine, it was a try. He got. We've seen those ones before given. So on the back of history, I'm going to allow it. What an ending! If you'd missed it, and then it goes down the other end, Luke Brooks scores. I mean, that's next level. So Anyway,
scenes, absolute scenes.
Scenes, yeah. Tim would have been losing his mind.
Oh, boy. I was G'ing him up during the game because they were, 10 points up or something, 12, even with not long to go in the game. And I'm messaging, how good? And he's just like, just wait. And then when that all happened, I messaged and said, I'm so sorry, mate. He goes, yep, called it. Anyway. Tough luck for the Tigers, but they were in a much better showing than last week against us. For the Rabbitohs in this game, Cam Murray top scored with 105. So bit of a down year for him so far. His best so far in the other five games was 64. So not getting a lot of time on the park there. Four out of his five scores were in the 50s so far this year. So just needed to get a try, and it broke the shackles a bit there, broke the ton for him. So onwards and upwards, you'd think, for Cam Murray. Damien Cook, big downgrades. Got a try contribution for that Tom Burgess try in Golden Point, but only got 56. So wild old ride. He's definitely taken a back seat to the likes of Harry Grant this year. And your new buyer, Jake Simpkin, basically just tackled himself to a standstill. I think he's got a lot more to offer with his running game, but that'll come in time. Are you happy with 56?
Yeah, I mean, for someone that's basement and, you know, looking to only on the up, I'm stoked. I was real happy with that choice. And I mean, there's a lot of issues with that Tigers team, but I didn't think it was little. So, and, you know, to for him to leave the team entirely was a really big call. But Simpkin was, he was great. So, I'm pretty happy with that. And again, I just wish I'd have chucked him on the reserve bench, because 62 was a lot better than. I mean, it's weird when like the guy Simpkin, you know, playing in these, you know, handful of games versus Tedesco, and Tedesco is getting less than this player. It's like, what unit? What is going on? But that's Supercoach, isn't it? So
classic. Another guy that's on the bubble, I reckon, David Nofaluma, 72 points. He had a big week against us with a couple of tries last week. Building, he set up a try through a line break and a kick back infield in this one here. So 72 points, pretty handy from him. I think he's definitely a guy to keep your eyes on. He's fallen away a little bit, so it'll be buying low, but I'm keen on him. Cody Walker, 53, very quiet. Game I thought he would lift for too, so I was contemplating going him as captain actually this week before going with Nathan Cleary. So glad I made that call, just the try assist for him. And Latrell, he got a bit of a nice upgrade for any owners out there. Was the flopper of the week, but with a 64, we have to take that title off of him. But yeah, 3 to 4 weeks for doing classic Latrell stuff. And finally, how shit's Jimmy the Jet?
Oh, super, super bad. One of those ones that, yeah, you just have to have in your team at the start for money purposes, and he just continues to disappoint. So I wish I could find a way to get him out of my team, but every week I can't. So
the week that you do will be the week he goes 100. Oh, classic Jet.
Classic. Absolute.
Raiders 10 getting done by the Eels 35. I also did not see this one coming, and I did not tip that. But a couple of ones here. Interesting, as we said, Isaiah Papali'i still getting the run with Matto continuously out, and 119 points. Trade fail of the week, some bloke trading him out for Fuimona. That will absolutely sting. He's going to be almost 600K after starting the year at 400. Incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I mean, yeah, just both. It seems like I've seen him do that sort of crash ball score try thing, I think, 2 weeks in a row now. And, you know, will I? Yeah. But it's one of those players where you're like, am I going to take the plunge on Papali'i? And I just don't know if I can. And you know that next week he'll just do it again. So that's frustrating. Maybe the whole, you know, the horse has bolted on him or not. I'm not too sure. But yeah, look, 200 grand, that's huge. Absolutely huge for a bloke that's just gone over to the Eels, you know, and no one really expected that much out of him. Yeah, huge.
Two tries here, and I think Warriors fans would be sitting back going, like, where was this
when you were with us? Yeah, 100%. I really enjoy as well that I tipped the Raiders and the Dragons, just a little foreshadow, but I made a comment on our podcast about how good it would be to tip the Warriors and the Eels as, like, you know, that's definitely what you should be doing this week. So I haven't even taken my own advice, and then it buggered on me. So I'm super happy with my own stupidity on that one. I love it. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, great game by the Eagles. Big bounce back from them. Speaking of, like, great, Reid Marnie, another ton. Plenty of tackles and tries. It's his third ton of the year. So we're talking about premium hookers. And Damien Cook's not in that conversation, I don't think, this year. But a guy like Reid Marnie has sort of always been on the radar, I guess, but not, I would say, a premium option. But this year, a lot of stuff is going through his hands. He's a very interesting play.
Yeah, especially with, you know, he was, I think he did play Origin, didn't he? Last year, did he play one? Or it was
on the side.
Yeah, on the side, yeah. So, like, you know, he may well, but then there's a bloke called Harry Grant that probably end up taking that spot. So he is possibly someone you could think of jumping in there for that in that period of time, because I think Eels play the first bye, is that right?
Yes.
I want to say. So, you know, it might be an idea for that premium, yeah, if you're going to go premium. But, I mean, yeah, scored a try and just, yeah, able to, as you said, just everything sort of goes for him. So, yeah, not a bad choice at all.
Yeah, just another one that I guess if you missed the boat on, three or four tries is incredible. Yes, he does play the bye week as well. So could be a – I mean, you'll have Jake Simpkin there playing for the Tigers that week as well. So if you get a Simpkin and Marnie combination up there, you'd be doing pretty well. So I think that'll be a target for people. Mitch Moses finally broke his flat track bully, as Timmy likes to call him. He finally broke 60+. So it was definitely a flattened track on the night here for them. Fergo Quiet, one of my recent buys as well. Lol, 48 points. Linebreak assist, his only attacking stat. So, I mean, I'm going to take that from Fergo. I've paid a decent amount for him. If his bottom score, his basement is sort of in that 40 range, then I'm absolutely taking that in the shit show that's been the center wing. And finally, Gutho, another fullback we've got to consider, 98 points. So been a bit quiet so far this year, but when he's on, he's on. And I think that was the case here. No one really relevant for the Raiders, I would suggest, but Bailey Simonson is 50 minutes with an HIA and 12 points. So again, just crap. Standard. Center wing. Yep. Anything else for this game, mate?
No, just I was a bit mad that everybody seemed to score except Fingers. So, yeah, Fergo doesn't score. I was like, what is going on? Like, literally everybody scored.
Yep.
But the bloke that I've got. So, yeah, love that. That's great.
Dragons getting done by the Warriors, 14-20. Not a lot of Supercoach stuff in this game here, but Tohu Harris owners. I was a big fan of his last year and didn't go him this year being... He's just in the second row and he was quite highly priced, but still just getting the job done. I scored a try, I think his first for a while, to go to 95 and should get some updates as well. So Tohu, a guy in a Supercoach world in the second row that's been pretty devoid of any consistency, he's definitely a guy that's been doing the job.
Yeah, no, definitely. Again, I missed the boat on that one too. So, yeah, just an incredible performance from the Warriors. I mean, I've read the stat before that they got 40 out of 40 completion rate. They had 100% completion rate for the game. First time that's happened in the century. So you'd hope you're winning games on the back of, you know, 100% completion rate. And yeah, Tohu obviously was a big component of that.
85, 87, 72, 72. Those are his last four scores. So he's definitely coming in with some form and proving a lot of doubters wrong. 11% of teams own him, so has got a fair bit of love so far this year. So good on anyone that's got him. RTS, 95 and a match winner. Again, another fullback we've got to think about. He won't play in that round 13 bye week, I don't believe. So he probably won't be someone you consider until later in the year. But again, he was one of the Warriors' best and got them the win. He's going to be a very tough loss to that inferior rugby code, right?
Yeah, it'll be sad to see RTS. Obviously, he's been a great component or proponent of this game for many, many years. So, yeah, disappointing to see him go. But, I mean, at the same time, he's given everything he can, I think, at this stage to that beloved team of his, and I do wish him all the best. You know, as a post Roosters, you know, player, I've got nothing but love for RTS.
And Zach Lomax, the only other real Supercoach relevant one here, keeping an eye on him. 58 points, a couple of missed goals, which we're not used to seeing from him. A couple of one line break, a few busts here and there. So 58, relatively handy. We're looking at some premium center wing upgrade options, and he was one of them. So I'd be keeping my eye out for him. He looks an Origin candidate, though. So you Blues might actually play a real center this time.
Stop it. The New South Wales Blues picking a team for correctly. I mean, I wouldn't live to see the day, Jazzy. But yeah, look, he did look like he picked up a little bit of an ankle injury or something, kind of at one point towards the back end of the game, he was sort of limping, but he came good. So not sure if anything will come out of that. Doesn't seem to at this stage.
Finally, the best to last. What an absolute firecracker this was. Yeehaw.
Yeah, look, I was watching it thinking to myself, I can't wait to hear the song tonight. Like, I just hope they win so I get to hear Life at the Outpost. And, yeah, got a job done. I'm sure you'd be very happy with that 2 from 2, mate.
Oh, mate, in the winner's circle and not leaving it anytime soon. But this was an absolute... I actually only saw the first half of this game. We were at Topgolf with a couple of mates. And it was on sort of like take a swing, and then I'd go and watch the game, and then I'd just see, I think we were 40% completions at one point, and then I'd just go and try to Happy Gilmore the ball. So it was a very mixed emotions day. And then we were in the car, drove back from Topgolf, and I'm just like, I don't want to listen to this on the radio. Like, I could be steering into traffic here if we continue this. So I'm not going to play it. And we got back into Brisbane, and I turned it on, and I heard the dogs stroll over for their second try, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, what's happened? And then they're like, oh, the game's got some life in it. I'm like, oh, wow. The boys, we're on. And then I get home and I see us nearly go down. It was a a wild ride.
It was a question of just like the big question for me was whether or not you think that Jack Hetherington is the biggest Gronk on the planet.
Oh, that was ordinary.
That was so ordinary. And yeah, to watch him get sent off for a super ordinary, you know, coat hanger, and then Latrell get nothing for it, just boggled the mind. But yeah, look, you got to take the wins where you can, and yeah, both teams, it was scrappy, but after that, when Hetherington, you know, got sent off, there was a bit of spice. They were belting each other, so you know, always good to watch. You know, even if the teams are, you know, towards the back end of the ladder, yeah,
It's incredible, man. Like we 28-6 over the Tigers last week at halftime. And we win by 4 points. And then we were, 18-6, I think, when Hetherington got sent off. And then we barely clung on.
Incredible.
At the death. Like, 25, can we just
12, and you still managed to almost lose it.
Mate, the hairline is receding and it's getting even rapid when I start having to watch those sort of games. So, anyway, as we said, we're yee-hawing in the streets tonight. But Benny Condon, big yee-haw for him, big try. And big minutes, 71. 72 points in that time as well. So definitely saved that score with the second half try. So great stuff for anyone that jumped on the cheapie for this week. And Luke Thompson, a guy I'm keeping my eye on for the Dogs here, he's played his second game now. Scored a try last week, not so here, but played 57 minutes at lock. Scored the same in points, few busts here and there. So in a game with pretty much devoid of Supercoach options here, those couple of guys, I guess, did their job. Anything else before we forget about that game and move on with our lives?
No, not really, mate. I guess, yeah, it was just, I love when they talk, when they've got those games up there and they're like, yes, it's a lovely balmy 26 degrees up here. And you're like, ooh, that does sound quite nice. You know, when in Brisbane and it's like 20 degrees and we're all wearing jumpers. So
they don't often play on a Sunday afternoon up there. So it's a rare time to actually see sunlight. It's not 1300 Smiles, it's Queensland Country Bank Stadium. But yeah, interesting time of it. I'm going to blame the weather on the 50% completion rates. It's got to be that. Can't be the quality of the players.
No, of course not. Of course.
Luke, that brings us to the end of the pod. It's been a big round. Good to have you on, mate. You're doing fantastically in Supercoach world. As you said, you've won your spot on the pod here. Hopefully you keep it up.
I've been sitting on the sidelines, mate, practicing, getting ready for this, and happy to be brought up to the big leagues. And I can't stress enough. I don't even have like the, you know how like you can buy like the the extended
Supercoach Gold.
Supercoach Gold. Yeah. Yep. I don't even have that. Like, I literally exclusively listen to this podcast to get my ideas and concepts. So it's good. You may not be seeing the points in your own team, but I promise you the ideas are good. That's how we get.
Oh, mate, we throw out enough ideas. A few of them will actually stick. It's when we get one wrong, and then we'll hear about it from the punters. But anyway, it's a game of luck sometime. But I think you're making your own luck with some of those calls this year, mate. It's good to see someone like yourself up in the pointy end. And a long way to go, but keep listening to what we tell you not to do. And do it, and you'll continue your rise up the rankings, mate.
Really?
Love it. We're going to finish. On last year's pods, we had the guys finishing with a song closer, or I think we got Timmy to roar like a tiger. But for your case, it's a bit of more of a Sporting Woods flavor. So you guys did a simulated online cricket cup game over the off season, and in that we had the Juzzy's music mashup.
That's right.
Do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, look, the Juzzy T mashup, music mashup was, it came out of the first season of SOC, where on the Twitch stream you would just throw bizarre things for me to do. And I'm like a budgie. I see it. I got to go for it. So this one was a bit more calculated. And the idea being that Juzzy would send two songs through, and it would be a song, the lyrics to the song of another, of a tune of another, to varying levels of achievement, I would say. Some of them were quite good, some of them were awful, and that had nothing to do with the amount of mangoes that we'd had.
Rocks and diamonds, I would say.
Yeah, rocks and diamonds.
So that's the backstory. I'm pretty sure you would have expected this, but I've got a couple of songs here for you, mate, if you can close us out.
Of course.
The music will be Life at the Outpost, obviously. Not an idiot.
Naturally.
And the lyrics will be This Will Be My Year, the other SC Report podcast theme song. So, Luke, Life at the Outpost, This Will Be My Year. Take it away.
Okay. All right. Okay. I always like to do the drum bit. I don't know why, but I'm just gonna have to do it. So the dun 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 dun. No more counting down the hours. Dun 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 dun. Wishing you were here. Dun 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 dun. I stopped believing all the journey told me don't. Before I call it a day, maybe this will be my year. Dun 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 dun. Maybe this will be my year. Dun 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 dun. Maybe this will be my year. Dun 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 dun.
I love it.
That's it.
That's the kind of high quality stuff you get on the Sporting Woods pod, mate. Thank you very much, Luke. That is, I'm going to absolutely smash the replay button of that. That was fan-effin-tastic. Thanks, Luke. Keep it going in the Supercoach world. And yeah, I'm sure we'll see you on at some stage later in the year.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon. Have a good one, guys. Nice.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.